Since Somalia pirates seized a shipment of Russian tanks, supposedly destined for the rebel-controlled semi-autonomous government in southern Sudan, the Sudanese government in Khartoum seized a cargo plane carrying light arms and ammunition in Juba, the capital of southern Sudan. Sudan has recalled its ambassadors from Kenya and Ethiopia because the Sudanese believe these nations were selling arms to the semi-autonomous rebel government. Sudan and the rebels have many unresolved issues, including unsettled borders, a conflict over oil revenues, and a planned referendum over the future status of southern Sudan. The two governments have maintained an uneasy peace for 3 years. According to the Christian Science Monitor, the semi-autonomous regime, controlled by the Sudan People's Liberation Army, or SPLA, has bought tanks, armored personnel carriers, assault rifles, and rocket-propelled grenades from Ethiopia, Kenya, South Africa, and the United States. The government in Khartoum has purchased weapons from Eastern Europe and China. One Western diplomat observed, "The SPLA has 170,000 armed men. That's larger than any army in Africa, and there's been no appreciable disarmament, demobilization, and reintegration in Sudan." In the face of a global economic recession, China is facing a massive wave of factory closures and bankruptcies of companies who export goods to Western nations. In recent weeks, Tao Shulong, owner of one of China's biggest textile dye operations, abandoned his empire, leaving behind 4 factories, 4,000 workers, and a debt of over $200 million. According to the Los Angeles Times, over 3,600 toy factories have shut down in recent months. Many of the migrant workers who toiled in factory complexes do not qualify for unemployment benefits and are returning to rural areas. Economic growth in China is expected to fall by 2/3 by the end of the year. To combat the increase in unemployment, Beijing has announced a $600 billion stimulus package to boost the Chinese economy. For the first time in 3 years, production of electricity is declining, and falling commodity prices are hurting exports. Many huge steel mills have already fallen silent. In early December, Canada's Conservative Prime Minister Stephen Harper convinced Canadian Governor General Michel Jean to suspend Parliament until January 27th, when the legislative body will debate Harper's budget plan that is fiercely opposed by the United Opposition parties, the Liberals, the New Democratic Party, and Bloc Québécois. The Canadian Governor General is the Queen of England's representative in Canada. Dismissing Parliament was the best option for Harper, who could have been forced out of office if he lost a vote of confidence in the body where the opposition controls the majority of seats. On December 1st, the opposition parties offered to form a new government, but the Governor General rejected their request. Outrage against Harper was fueled in recent weeks by the Conservatives' new budget plan that would have repealed the right of federal workers to strike, slashed programs for pay equity, and abolished public financing for political parties. The Liberal leader, Stefan Dion, is stepping down after disappointing the party faithful by losing parliamentary seats in Canada's October 14th election. He is expected to be replaced by the head of the Liberals' moderate wing, Michael Ignatieff, a former Harvard University professor-turned-politician who backed George Bush's war in Iraq. This week's news summary was compiled by Bob Nixon. For Between the Lines, I'm Richard Hill.